This is Pat Whalen. Today's date is March 30th, 1973. The time is 1 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. Ben Baker in Saginaw, Michigan. Topics to be discussed include his 40 years with the CNL Railroad in the Saginaw Valley, the changes, the many changes he has observed during these 40 years, the relation of railroads to the history of the Saginaw Valley, the changes he has seen in the railroads, and how it has affected other aspects of life here in the Saginaw Valley. How far back do you go, for one thing? When did you start working on the railroad system?
In 1929.
Yeah, as a painter,
June 1929.
Uh-huh. 1929. How was the railroad system back then? How, you know, extensive was it? What kind of things did they carry on railroads? And passenger service, was there a lot more passenger service?
We had passenger service then. But about that time, they had been cut back. So like in Detroit, I think we had two trains a day, and that run from Bay City through to Detroit. And then they had other trains coming out of Detroit and went to Toledo. Well, they still have those, I guess, one or two. And then like on the, what we call the cobweb, go to Bad Axe, Port Huron, they had what they call a box and barrel that would have a coach on the end of it, you know, and they still carried passengers, but it took all day to get any place, you know, because they only went one way each way every day, see. Of course, there was maybe a train from the other end would be coming this way and one here go the other way. And the same way at Ludington, we had one go up and back every day from Saginaw to Ludington and return. That was passenger. That was back in 1929, see.
That was about the time, according to the reading I did about railroads in Michigan, they said around the 1930s is when autos started to replace trains as tourist transportation.
Yeah, right.
So did you still saw some of that where they had excursion trips, tourist trains, you know, and that was how they used
still to had tourist trains, like going to the ball game in Detroit or something like that. They used to do that. I've heard the old timers tell about, of course, I didn't see this, but it was just before my time, but they used to have Bayport out here. That was I don't know what they had out there, but it was a big fishing center, and they used to have, my God, maybe two or three excursions a day go out there. They tell me sometimes four. That's way back and long before my time, before I was born, I guess, but they used to really run excursions. And a lot of that stuff I couldn't fathom either, you know, because.
But a lot of that started to phase out when soon after you started working there. Did you that was after the era of lumbering, a long time after you started working.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
What kind of freight did the railroads carry when you first started? What kind of?
Well, they hauled a lot of coal. You know, that was the main thing for the heating. Like consumers had coal here, and and the boats they still use coal on the boats. And let's see.
Were the auto factories?
And Dow Chemical was one of our big. Dow Chemical at Midland, and they have a big plant in Ludington too, you know, and that's was a big feeder. Of course, there was a tremendous amount of coal went into those plants too. And then we had the Buick and Flint. That was big business. And of course, General Motors here in Saginaw, that's big business, you know. That's our, actually, Dow Chemical and General Motors is, in this particular area, was their main, the big shot thing.
How was the passenger service back then, other than with, you know, the tourist, special tourist trains, what were the passenger runs back then?
Well, that all died out just about the time that I started in, because the passenger trains used to haul most of us deadheads, because at that time we didn't have transportation like we did in recent years, you know, have a pickup truck to go and do your work or something like that. You had to grab your toolbox and get on a train and go someplace. Of course, I was in the water service for quite a while. You'd grab your toolbox and maybe go up to Lake Station and get off, do your work, check over all the stuff at the water plant and the pumps and all that, and then maybe 3-4 hours later the train would come back and pick you up and take you home. See? Of course, that made a long day out of it, from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, but that was one of the things you had to do then.
In the reading I did also about railroads, they said that railroad stations in the cities, they were comparable to like cathedrals in Europe. The cathedral of the church in a city was the center of the city.
Yeah.
And in American cities, when cities began, the city centered around the railroad station, because that
got that right here in Saginaw. This old Potter Street Depot was one beautiful edifice when it was built. You know?
Yeah, that's what they talked about. They said that they were all ornate and really decorated, and it was the center of life.
Bay City and Flint, of course, that Flint is tore down now, but that was a big monster.
You saw those when they were?
Oh, yeah, I've got pictures of most all those stuff. I've got a set of slides on, you know, I've got to get this stuff sorted out so that. But I went through and taken pictures of all the depots from one end of the railroad to the other. And I have slides of those things, and I would say there's 90% of them are gone, though. No,
the
I've got pictures of them, they're not there anymore.
Wow. When did you take them?
Quite a few period of years here now. And
wow. Yeah, because that was what fascinated me, because you go into these cities now, like, you know, the Potter Street Depot and the one in Bay City. The one in Bay City is an antique shop now, because they just, you know, it's...
Yeah. And, that was a bus station for quite a while.
Yeah.
They took over.
That must have been something back in those... When it was the center of it was a hotel there and everything.
The one at Baldwin. I've got a picture of that, the old Pacific House. It was a hotel and... Of course, the depot is still at Baldwin yet, because there's certain places where they still have an operator, but very few. That happens to be one where they use an operator at night. Of course, they have to keep the facility there for that purpose. Otherwise, that would be gone too, I suppose.
Mm.
But there's hundreds of...
See, that's one of the effects on, you know, life in this area, life in the whole United States for that matter, but how it's changed, how the center of life in a city has shifted from railroad station to now everyone just drives around their own cars. It's less of a community thing, I guess, than it is now. It was...
Well, that was another thing, a big thing that happened in our transition from steam to the diesels. We had to maintain these huge coal docks, you know, that put up carloads of coal up in them thing, and then they have to drop that into the steam engines when they come in to refuel. And water tanks. Now, we had a water tank, my God, every 15, 20 miles, you know. Like going from here, you had one here. Well, we had two or three right here in Saginaw, but you go out to Midland. Oh God, I can't remember all the doggone things, but Lake, there's dozens and dozens of them. Them big water tanks hold 100,000 gallon of water or something like that. That stuff all come down, see.
Did the changeover from steam to diesel have effect on, I don't know, what were the effects of that? Did it have any effects beyond the railroad? I don't know, like the speed of the engines, was that increased?
Well, I can't recall the speed limit were changed because usually the condition of the track governs the speed of a train. In other words, you have to cut the speed down of the track, like in the spring of the year when the roadbed gets unstable, well then you have to maybe put a slow order on certain spots if the tracks are not too bad. Otherwise, I don't think the diesels made too much difference other than you take a couple or three diesels hooked together, you couldn't stall them. I mean, they'd take off of the train, where a steam engine, like going to Ludington, maybe had to have a helper out there to Everett or someplace, would have to come over to get over Remick Hill. They'd put an engine on behind him, push him over, and soon they got over the hill, well, he'd cut loose and go back and wait for the next guy. But the diesels, you didn't have to do that. They've got tremendous power. Of course, the wheels are not as big as the old steam engines were, and I suppose that. And they were heavier, too. Mm-hmm.
Did that have any effect, changing over to diesels, did that have any effect on passenger service, if what there was?
Well, no, because the passenger service was, I would say, was gone when the diesels took over. Yeah, that we didn't have any here at all. The only that I can remember is from Detroit to Toledo going down south, or from Detroit to Grand Rapids, they had a train or two that way.
Does the CNO have any passenger service now in Michigan?
Yeah, from Detroit. Well, I still think they have a run to Grand Rapids. I'm pretty sure they do. Mm-hmm. And from Detroit to Toledo. And that's the only... There's nothing left up in this area at all. That's been gone for years.
What do you think about that? About the change from when railroads were the main source of passenger service in Michigan, when people used railroads to get...
Well, it was nice at the time, and but those changes had to come. I mean, and it certainly didn't do any harm. I mean,
what about all the... Well, there's the closing miles and miles of track every year, closing down a lot of track that isn't used now, and people say that railroads are dying, you don't agree with that, you told me.
Well, not to that extent, no, because each one of these railroads, the only thing that I don't think where it pays off is like where we have two railroads going, say, from here to Bay City or something like that, or where you have two lines parallel each other, which is the case in a lot of places, which maybe one of them, but you can't hardly eliminate that because maybe that goes on from Bay City up north someplace, and we don't, see? So there's different ways of looking at it.
Do you think it'll reverse, it'll change, that we'll have to use the railroads again for transportation?
Oh, I don't think you'll ever get along without the railroads, because even though the trucks have a lot of the business, there's a lot of stuff that they can't haul. The railroads haul a lot of stuff that just can't be hauled on trucks.
What about passenger transportation?
I don't think you'll ever see that, because people, it's just like going to a parking lot. You won't go in a store unless you got a place to park. And people are not going to take a train if they got to drive so many miles and get on it and leave their car or get somebody to take them. That, you'll never see that again.
But cars are getting more and more numerous. Everyone is getting, two, three, four cars, and the expressways are getting more and more crowded. It seems to me, and that there's going to be some kind of mass transportation system.
They've got it now, from here to Florida. They've got a train where they can take your car and load it on this train, and they take you to Florida. I've seen that in the paper. I never actually see the train, but I've read about it in the paper, how that's going to work out. But I think eventually something like that could happen.
Well, what about if you just forget about cars and people would just go back to using trains as a as a transportation system, to get from one place to another without driving, because they're trying to do that with that Amtrak system, trying to get railroading people to use railroads again to travel around the United States.
Well, if there wasn't any automobiles, no other mode of transportation, railroads couldn't even handle the people. It would be impossible.
Unless,
along with their freight. I mean, they couldn't handle them.
Well, but, tied in with the whole thing, if we did switch back to that,
yeah,
then the railroads would have to improve their, everything, start using track new lines and everything so that they could handle the passenger service, revive them again like they were at the beginning of the century. Do you think that's,
I don't hardly look for anything like that to ever happen, because nowadays the freight is so hot, and when they have to move that, it's got to be moved, and they don't want nothing to get in your way. And if they've got a passenger train out here that used to take preference, that don't go over very big if you've got to put a freight train in the hole for a passenger train. It's something to think about. I know what the railroad's thinking of it.
What about, to get back to some changes that you've seen in your many years working with the railroad, we talked about that before, about you came in after the lumbering time.
Yeah.
Have you seen any changes in the freight that they've handled on the railroads? The changes were pretty well already accomplished when you started, hauling for car factories and refineries like Dow and things like that. Have there been any other changes you think like that? Things at the railroads haul, what they do?
Well, they have made quite a change in their cars for handling this stuff, because there's a lot of specially equipped cars now for handling certain things, like your motors, automobile motors and stuff. They have special cars, special racks for them, and they have their frame cars set up just for that particular commodity.
What about
your piggybacks? Another thing, of course, they haul a lot of your semi trailers now, and they're backed onto the piggybacks, and then they haul them to different areas.
You said that the length of the cars has changed. There's fewer cars, but they're longer.
Yeah.
And they haul more.
I wouldn't say we've got fewer cars, but I mean, to take the same number of cars in a train now to what we had 20, 25, 30 years ago, the same number of cars in a train would make the train twice as long, see?
Jobs have been replaced, how people who used to work on the railroad, their jobs have been phased out.
Yeah,
because
well,
of
in the area of the agents and operators, we've had dozens and dozens of stations that have been closed, and then that job is abolished. And of course, I think most of these agents have possibly been able to take a job where the retirements have been, deaths and retirement have taken care of most all of this over a period of years, because these stations haven't been changed all right at once, They're just maybe one or two or three a year or something like that. And it's kind of taken care of itself. But the jobs have never been replaced, see? And the diesel, I can't tell you actually how many men, what a difference it made in the manpower, but like in the engine house, it didn't take near the men to maintain the diesels that it did the old steam engines, because that was an awful lot of work on the old steam engines to keep them operating. I can remember that part of it.
That's a big change over there.
The big change over in the steam was I would say there was a lot of jobs eliminated.
Do you think when you started working back in 1929 that the railroads were one of the major sources for employment in the state, or How would it rank? Like now, a lot of people work for the auto industry.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was one of the major, but it was one of the better places to work, because years ago, if you had a job on the railroad, you had a good job, and your credit was good, and where you went, railroad people, as a rule, were pretty well liked people.
How's that changed now?
Well, it hasn't changed any to that effect, I doesn't think, but you don't have the jobs and the opportunities like we did have years ago.
Do you think people stay on the railroad, you know, people who start working on there, do they stay there for their lifetime now,
well,
like they did before?
I wouldn't know just how to answer that. I do know that I would say nowadays we have a little bigger turnover, because there's a lot of the younger people that'll take a job like in the yard switching or something like that, and maybe they'll work 6 months or a year, and then they go to something better, because there is probably better paying jobs. But the people that stick to the railroad jobs, they usually, after they've got a few years on, they're good for a lifetime then.
There's still the job that you had on maintenance of repairing bridges and buildings, is that's still a job?
Oh, yes, there'll always be somebody to manage that part of it, because that's something that's a day-to-day, 24-hour job, 7 days a week. I mean, that.
Did you repair stations and depots?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you work on that
yeah.
too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of those are phased out now.
Oh, yeah. But that's one reason why I say our manpower allotment was cut down over a period of years, too, from 65 men to maybe 13 or 15 at the most now. Mm-hmm. See, so that was the difference over a period of years. You gradually lost your men.
Is there less maintenance on the steel bridges they have now than there are on the wooden ones?
Well, yeah, I would say. The only thing is, on the steel bridges, back years ago, we used to manage to get over our steelwork at least every 5 years, give it a coat of paint. And that's been neglected in recent years, and it ain't going to be many years till they're going to pay for it, because the structural steel is not what it used to be nowadays. You know, it's gradually getting in bad shape. Of course, whenever they make your periodic bridge inspections, that's another thing I used to do twice a year. Go over and make this annual bridge inspection. We had to go over every bridge, and what I mean, make an inspection. Go over every inch of it. If you find some little part of it that wasn't good, loose rivets or maybe a gusset rusted out or something, that is replaced. In other words, we never let it get to the point where it's not safe. But there's gradually going to be more of that steel work to be done in the very near future. I can vouch for that.
Do you think this trend of less and less men for the same jobs is going to continue? Do you think this downward trend?
Well,
it seems to be downward. Less and less men are doing the same job.
Well, less men are doing the same job. The only thing is they're not doing any preventative maintenance now. In other words, you don't do anything until you have to nowadays. See, that painting used to take care of a lot of this work. And then there's a lot of things like, of course, we have to change the ties on the bridges every so often. And nowadays, you'll look them over and you'll let them go till you know they've got to be changed.
Do you think less men are, well, what am, let's see, well, like you said, there were like 56 men on the maintenance
yeah.
crew before, now there's 13. Do you think, like, you know, in a few years there'll be even less than that, it'll keep going?
Well, I don't think it can go down any further, because they have got to keep a skeleton crew on for emergency work, and that takes so many men, even with the transition of power. You see, nowadays, we have all kinds of equipment to work with. like pouring concrete, and your vibrators, and you have your chainsaws, and you've got all kinds of air compressors and air tools, air wrenches, which everything used to be done by hand before, and of course that takes a little less men with power, but you still have to have men enough to handle this equipment. So I don't think they'll ever be much lower right than what they are right now.
And what about the closing of rail lines like they've been doing? Do you think that'll eventually slow down?
Well, the only thing, like in an area of this particular territory, the only thing that might be changed here would be a branch line. Well, they just closed one going into Otisville here out of Flint here, just last year. But those things can be eliminated. But your main lines, the main track, I don't think you'll ever see any change in that.
You think that there'll always be a place for the railroads to handle freight that trucks can't?
Sure. I don't think the government will ever let that go out of sight, because that's pretty important, especially during wartime.
Do you think, I guess we already talked about it a little bit, do you think it'll ever reverse, that they'll use railroads more and more for handling freight and less use of trucks?
I don't hardly think so. There's plenty of work for both of them. I mean, they're...
I don't know. They're... I see... Well, in my young life so far, I mean, I've seen more and more roads, being built, more and more concrete being poured, and more and more highways to carry all this transportation, all these trucks carrying freight. And I don't see how that can continue, at the rate it's going. That seems like, and in the whole concern about pollution, with the... all this traffic on the expressways, it seems like one way to solve a lot of that, one way to create a large source of mass transportation, and one way to handle a lot of this freight, is to go back to railroads, or go forward with improving railroads so that they can be used again the way they were before. You don't think that'll happen?
Well, I'm one that would like to see it happen, because I think the railroads can handle more business than what they're handling, especially in the freight line. But the railroads couldn't handle it all, and the trucks can't handle it all. I mean, there'll always be both. I'm pretty sure of that. Even mass transportation on the railroads, I don't think they could handle it all.
Hmm. Do you know anything about, what would you call it, the bureaucracy, I guess, of the railroads? Like, any of the office history with the CNO Railroad, how it's... Oh, you said you worked on it when it was part of the Pierre Marquette system.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that? Could you talk about that a little bit, how it switched over from Pierre Marquette to become the CNO Railroad?
That's something I can't hardly... I don't know too much about, but it's... Well, like the CNO, I don't know how they get a hold of a railroad in the first place. They got a way of reaching out and taking over a railroad. How that's done, I don't know. But that's what happened to us. When the CNO took over, we were a part of the CNO Railroad from that time on.
Mm. Were there any changes that resulted from that? Any kind of effects? Or just a name change?
I think mostly it was just a name change, because our main personnel was the same and our offices were the same. Over a period of years, there might have been a change of some big shot going from here down there, and maybe one of them going up here. Maybe it's just a change in personnel, but there wasn't much change in that.
Did it acquire more track, more lines when it switched?
No, it just took over what we already had. Of course, I can't recall whether they was instrumental, and I think they had something to do with maybe improving the track and the beds and work like that and the equipment.